You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
All right, so we're live, CWCBE. It's been a really great show. Had a lot of interesting things, a lot of great speakers, and definitely the highlight and one of the last interviews I have today is with Montel Williams, and I am just super honored. Thank you so much, man, for coming over.
No, thanks for having me, sir.
And just been so excited. So it's been a lot of years, man, that you've had such a great influence on so many people as far as covering so many topics and events. And I know that cannabis has been a part of your life for a very long time. Has it always been?
You know, I mean, I guess I'm a baby boomer. And, you know, if we stop for a second and recognize the truth, if it were not for baby boomers, this entire movement wouldn't be here.
For sure.
You know, you've got baby boomers who literally remember the fact that in the early 70s and the late 60s, they were the ones who were the first people out getting busted, literally
Cannabis,
and told by people they would never be successful. And now all of a sudden, some of them are our congressmen, our senators, some of our leading business leaders who are literally putting the pressure on their peers to make sure legislation gets passed the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got to give a shout out to all the baby boomers out there doing their thing.
And, you know, for all the people who are new to this industry, it's really very funny. You know, you can look across the board at every dispensary open in America. You know, the baby boomers have the most disposable income of any demographic in this country.
Okay.
And I would defy a dispensary owner telling me that the average amount that those people under the baby boomer age spend is greater than the baby boomers.
We hear about that.
Come on, baby boomers walk in the door.
Absolutely.
They may walk out with $400 or $500 worth of product.
Of course.
And they come back next week and do it again.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
You know, I'm not putting down millennials and others, but they may roll in and buy 100. I'm just saying.
I got you.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, okay. For sure. And, you know, did you always, getting back to it for a second,
sure.
Before you had your illness, were you a cannabis user? Or let's just kind of break that down.
When I was in high school, my high school years, I probably used a little bit. I'm Italian, not that
tiny
much,
but a little bit. Little Clinton puff pass type thing.
Well, you know, like, hey, dude, you know, you had to hide it from everybody.
Sure,
so, you
sure.
know, it wasn't something you could pull out anywhere at any time.
Oh, the time when you went to high school, you're talking about a way different era.
Correct.
Reefer madness is in its fucking, like, peaks.
Correct.
You know?
So, I'm saying if I probably used once a month. You know, because you got somebody who had enough money to go find some.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, so maybe
and these privileged millennials, they don't know what it was like when we were young and all there was this Mexican brick weed with seeds and all that crap
that
they got
in the closet.
There. And people talking about lids and with their fingers and measuring. And then now you have it. And you know, it's almost crazy how much has developed just in the past 10 years.
Absolutely.
Now, right?
Look, I went 22 years. I was in the military being literally drug tested. So I went almost 17 years of active duty and another 5 years not really using at all.
Sure.
And then I went to Hollywood. I got a television show.
Of course.
So, you know, you hang out in circles where, you know, this appears more than it didn't appear.
Absolutely.
But still, again, in the early 90s in this country, you know, there were, if you take a look at the number of African-American males who went to jail carrying just even, you know, something below an eighth.
Unbelievable.
It was ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
So,
and let's be honest, that shit hasn't changed that much these days.
Even now.
Especially in Cali, in the poorer areas.
Correct.
They will actually even put shit that isn't theirs. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I hear horrible stories because people, even in those impoverished areas, they're sitting on their porch in front of their own damn house, and the cops are pulling up and fucking with them on their own goddamn porch. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, so again, my use is, if I said I was a weekend casual user prior to being diagnosed with my illness, that's probably more accurate.
Sure.
But that wasn't a continuation. I'd go months without using it all.
And, yeah, sure.
You know, a little bit. But then, when I was diagnosed, I really didn't put the two and two together.
Sure.
Because
what year was that?
That was 1999.
1999.
So 1999, I got diagnosed with MS, and my brain was probably like the rest of the brains out here, that marijuana was just fun.
Sure.
Marijuana wasn't a medical agent. And sure. So I didn't put the two together, even though when I was taking 9 or 7 or 8 Vicodin and getting an ugly buzz,
sure,
I didn't associate the fact that there was a euphoria or there was any kind of mind-altering anything.
Yes, of course.
So I paid attention, and you know, you want to pay attention to what your doctor says, especially when you get an illness like this. A diagnosis like this was a lifetime diagnosis. But then...
What changed? What made you say, whoa, what's up?
I
let me try something.
Way too many opioids to the point that a doctor who was a close friend recognized that themselves.
Okay.
And wasn't going to write me any prescriptions. And basically, again...
And in some ways, a blessing.
Correct. Out of fear for being alienated for even recommending cannabis, he kind of recommended it to me tangentially. And I was like, I never heard about this. And I started looking at it and started realizing that we have natural receptors in our body. Back in the early 90s, they were just talking about natural receptors, late 90s.
Yeah.
They hadn't really identified the endocannabinoid system.
No, not at all.
Then recognizing that what I was really doing was a little bit ahead of times, I was able to understand that my body literally genetically is made to receive cannabinoids.
Yes, yes.
And then
yes.
When you started doing the research, and it was very limited amount of research back in the 99,
and they didn't have the oils and the pills and the fucking this and that,
but
nothing.
But I shifted over because I realized very quickly that there's something about this word cannabinoid,
sure.
Something about these cannabinoid things. So then I started recognizing the fact that the highest concentration of cannabinoids are in the kief. So from about 1991 till now, I am a avid kief smoker.
Hell yeah.
I'm not really a leaf
smoker.
Not just
dabber like everybody. The oil's a little too strong for you or no?
No, I do oils. As a matter of fact, I actually have created my own line of oils now. But my oils are formulated in a way that the patient gets to basically titrate themselves.
Okay.
So I have an oil that is a 10% THC and a 90% CBD.
Okay, that's awesome.
I have an oil that's a 50% THC, 50% CBD.
Okay.
And a 95% THC and a 5% CBD.
Okay, and the reasoning,
part of the reason why is
let's break it down why.
We know for a fact that in discovery of cannabinoids, the doctor who discovered them stated unequivocally that they work in an entourage effect.
Sure.
Or an orchestra effect. And that orchestra effect is you can't play, you know, a Beethoven without strings.
I got you.
You might make some noise, but you're not necessarily eliciting what it is you want. So you need to have the full spectrum
absolutely.
Of that plant available.
Yes.
But you can actually modulate the levels of each one of those cannabinoids.
Now,
when I say I have a CBD formulation.
Yeah, tell me.
My CBD formulation is a broad spectrum cannabinoid formulation. It has majority CBD, but it has CBG, CBN, CBNV, all of the other cannabinoids.
And Montel, do me a favor. For those listening and a lot of people not knowing as much about cannabis and are using this as a tool to learn, explain the importance of why people just think that CBD by itself and hemp and that molecule itself is the cure-all, but it truly is and it isn't, because you need to have these other molecules, right?
I mean, to have not only the molecules that are called cannabinoids, but we need to have the terpenes. We need to have the other chemicals, the phytonutrients that are there also.
Sure.
This plant was literally put on this planet, I think, to be a spark to a system that is genetically inside of us. Our endocannabinoid system, CB1 and CB2 connectors that are in your brain and in your peripheral cells, there is science that is proving that cannabinoids help modulate cellular homeostasis.
Amazing.
What does that mean?
Wow.
That means that it balances out our cells in their proper balance.
Okay.
When that endocannabinoid system is out of balance, bingo bango, all kinds of disease
can occur and start happening.
So we probably, when we were little, you know, 3 foot tall little things running around on savannah, we probably consumed a considerable amount,
more
than we do now.
Without even knowing.
Hemp has always been one of the highest protein source plants on the planet.
Now, do you eat like hemp seeds in this and integrate that into your diet and stuff or no?
For about 5 years straight, I was drinking a particular type of shake that had... probably all the protein that came from that shake came from hemp. I try to now seek out as many hemp products to eat as I possibly can.
That's awesome. Yes. Now, you started Let's talk about the line you started, and then you're now kind of bridged out, right? So let's talk about the original brand that you started.
The brand that I started, the name of the brand is, the name of the company is Lenitiv, L-E-N-I-T-I-V, and I call the company Lenitiv because it's a term that was used in the turn of the century to identify lessening pain, assuaging pain in pharmaceuticals. So on the bottle that you would get of your pharmaceutical, it would use the term Lenitiv.
Get out of here.
Correct.
So look at you, bro.
So I named the company Lenitiv, and our product was initially named Lenitiv Oils and Dabs.
And when did it start?
We started officially 3 years ago. We put more product in the marketplace about a year and a half ago. And because of, you know, in the last 4 or 5 months in all the states that have some form of medical or legal cannabis, there's been some packaging issues.
Okay.
So we had to go through this whole packaging thing. We
get
back
on
the shelves.
That's crazy, right? You got to, and it costs a lot of money, and then you fuck up, and then you got to recall this shit and do it over and over again. That can be really frustrating, right? What states are you in?
We are right now, we will be on the shelves in Oregon and California on November 1st again. We were on the shelves in Oregon.
Yeah, because of the, let's explain this to everybody. What happened in California is when all the laws changed over on July 1st, anybody who wasn't compliant or didn't do the new regulations, all your product had to be destroyed.
And
they destroyed $350 million worth of product. And
crazy.
They made the dispensaries videotape it so they could prove they did it.
That's absolutely insane.
Did you have a lot of shit that got destroyed or no?
We had a lot of product that never made, we never made it into marketing.
Okay, well,
thank
God.
Okay,
well.
In Oregon, we had to repackage every bit of our product in Oregon. So we've gone through this last 6 month process. And I'm telling you, every municipality in every state has its own rules. So you've got to make sure that your packaging meets everybody's rules before it can go on the shelf. And standards. And it's got to be childproof. And, you know, so by the time you get done with that, we go back on shelves in California on November 1st. We should be in Oregon within 3 to 4 days after that.
Hell yeah.
And I'm in
You guys
right
going to do flower too? Or are you going to expand or what?
Right now, I am doing a formulation of oil that is a supercritical CO2 extraction or a cryoethanol extraction. I use no butane.
I'm with
you. And we are down to right now testably in 3 or 4 different laboratories testing. We are testing out probably one part per billion.
Let's explain, especially a lot of these oil people definitely know what you were talking about, but the difference between CO2 and ethanol, by using those processes, the oil comes out differently, right?
Comes out differently, and you got to also remember that CO2 and ethanol are both organic chemicals that appear on this earth naturally.
Oh, yeah.
They have a evaporation temperature that they just go away.
Yeah.
You consume, plants consume CO2. We literally breathe it out. CO2 is in your body.
Sure.
You have the ability to process out.
Sure.
You don't have the ability to process out butane.
Yeah, no,
as much as anybody may think or any form of BHO, you don't. As much, and you'll hear people argue with me. I get argued with all day long about the fact, no, I had it tested by so-and-so, and it was down to 50 parts per million. I don't want one part per million.
No,
I'm not sucking
part.
on an exhaust pipe. Why would I suck on something like that to put it in my body?
And you know what the shame is that a lot of you younger kids out there are buying these little hand mechanisms that you go buy butane from a smoke shop, and you're putting your stuff through, and you're trying to do it. You guys got to stop doing that, one, because it's explosive.
And two, you're leaving chemical residue of butane in your brain.
In your brain. No way.
Correct.
I didn't even know that.
And it goes in your nervous system. And you can say, no, I put it out and I make sure that I let it leach out for a couple of days before I smoke it. It's not leaching out.
No.
It's still there.
Absolutely.
And again, until we get a true standard for testing in this industry where I know that I could get something tested and when it says 0 parts per million, it says 0 parts per million.
Sure.
Right now, I don't believe half the tests that we get. I test stuff 3 times and it comes back with 3 different numbers.
Oh, so you make sure before you put, especially because of your name, putting it on it, right? You got to make sure.
Correct. And I don't want to do any
harm. And you don't want to get in lawsuits either.
But I also don't want to do harm.
Oh,
I mean,
of course.
We don't know what damage it would do to an epileptic brain or a brain that's dealing with some other carcinogen issue that caused a cancer.
Yeah.
So why don't we use things that we know have been used and proven in the food industry for years.
Man.
Use those kinds of techniques that we know that we can do no harm.
You must be excited about putting this stuff out, bro, right?
I am, but I'm also more excited about, you know, the industry is growing. I just want the industry to get as excited about protecting itself
sure.
as I am
sure.
as in moving it forward.
Absolutely,
and,
man.
You know, we're all caught up right now in this whole idea of trying to be first to plate and trying to make some money. This industry hasn't even we aren't even beyond wood planes yet. This is the Wright brothers just pushed this thing down the hill.
I feel you.
In about another 3 or 4 years, we're going to have jet aircraft, and you know we're going to have space shuttles. So calm down a little bit. There's enough money in this.
Absolutely.
If we all decided to do this with respect to human life.
Have you thought about doing just CBD stuff so you could have a national product and a platform for now, or are you just kind
I have a CBD product out in the marketplace now again. And one of the things when I was talking about what we have in our CBD ratio. Our CBD is not just CBD. It's also terpene and broad spectrum cannabinoids.
Okay.
So I may be higher 99, 93, 95% CBD.
Sure.
But there's CBN, CBG, there's other cannabinoids in
there. Of course.
And then there's a school of terpenes that I put in there.
Okay.
In particular for bioavailability.
Now, are we talking about proprietary? You can't mention the terpenes?
I don't want to mention the terpenes.
Okay, I got you. Maybe. I got you.
But then again, you also know that it's just like, you might be able to make a pizza, but yours may not taste like Papa John's.
Exactly. A New York pizza is different than what Cali, for
correct,
sure.
Correct. So it's all about the hand. So we make sure that we put the proper amount of terpenes in that are there.
Awesome. So listen, if anybody wanted to learn more about what you got going on, what are the best ways for people to hit you up?
They can go up on lenativeproducts.com and find access to my CBD products nationwide.
Okay, cool.
And they can be delivered right to your house.
Let me ask you something. If people want to just kind of, I know it's hard to reach out to you and stuff, but your Instagram or social media are ways if they want to throw a message out to you or something like that, especially people that are aching and pain and going through MS and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
If they can hit me up, I'll give you my Instagram. They can come up on that or even my website. Come up. I, over the course of about 30 days, answer almost everything.
Okay.
I'm hardly never.
You're a good guy, bro.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I have a hard time keeping up myself, dude. I can't even operate my phone. You notice I got a 6S.
I got you.
You know what I mean? So you know, I get help to do that. But yeah, they can reach out.
And thank you so much, man, for your voice and the power that you hold, for real. You know,
and
I'm really glad that you're one of the people standing in the forefront, because you have a lot of credibility, and there's a lot of celebrities and people that are jumping into this industry to get rich. Let's just break that fucking shit down. But you're healing yourself.
They want to be part of a gold rush. And I ain't hating on anybody. Make as much money as you want.
Sure.
But when it's time to step up to the plate and do the right thing, it's like,
absolutely,
you know, November 6th, it's time for people to step up to the plate and vote. Between now and November 6th, it's time for people to put pressure on legislators to
absolutely
make sure that, since you enjoy the fact that you have an opportunity to get some adult use in, why don't you step up to the plate and ensure that it continues to happen?
For sure, and I hope everybody does that and does everything they can to make this plant what it's supposed to be. Shout out to Canada for fucking making the bar and making some shit legal.
Absolutely.
As a big-ass country, and hopefully that rippling effect is going to reach us and all over the world. Thank you, Montel,
Thank you so much.
What a great honor. I'm super blessed. I wish you all the best, good health, good prosperity, and everything in life, my man.
Thank you. Right back at you, my
hell
friend.
Hell yeah.
All right, brother. Be well. Thank you.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
All right, so we're back, finishing up last day of CWCBE, and it was really awesome to interview Montel. What a great guy. And I'm always excited when I get to interview people that I already know, moving and shaking in the cannabis industry. And actually, when we were starting out as a company, I was honored by being one of my first interviews was with you.
That's right. Hello there.
How are you? Give a shout out to everybody.
Yes. Hello, everybody. Here we are at the Cannabis World Congress and Business Expo here in kind of chilly Boston today.
Kind of chilly.
And we are here with Purple Haze Productions and Radio.
Yeah. And we are both used to the nice warm weather of Cali, where
That's
both of
right.
us are from. Why don't you kind of take everybody through what you've been doing as far as when you first started getting into cannabis, and then you've just kind of been blossoming like crazy.
Like a little flower. Right. Well, thank you so much for this time here today with you and all your wonderful listeners. My background is Ayurvedic, Chinese, and holistic medicine, and I have a specialty in Bach flower and homeopathics, which is actually the science of flower as medicine. Back in Europe, they started that. So I've been working with plant flower medicine for many years, and through this whole, my whole personal relationship with cannabis as a first recreational user, and after that I learned about the medical use, I had an edible company because I'm a chef, and then it was at a hard time when dispensaries were not user-friendly, and then I knew that we needed more outreach and education, so in 2013, I started the U.S. Weed Channel, the first cannabis-based TV network.
The U.S. Weed Channel.
The U.S. Weed Channel.
Shout out to the U.S. Weed Channel.
Right, and we worked on outreach and education, and then I moved from there. I did hemp radio. I actually started an edible company, and just a lot of transitions. I then had a wonderful delivery service where we served a lot of patients who were in need.
Nice.
And now, through my family, we have a cultivation in Southern Oregon.
Oh, wow.
And right now, harvest is going on.
And are you still part of Edibles List?
No, I used to write for Edibles Magazine.
Okay.
I am a writer. I try to be a writer.
Absolutely.
And I do write for other publications. And actually, right now, I write for WeedMapsMarijuana.com.
Oh, nice.
Right.
And we also have awesome guests came here today representing one of our clients that we have at Purple Haze Radio and Purple Haze Properties, Peter Tosh, legendary cannabis revolutionary in the reggae industry, and definitely making a mark and impact through awareness. And you have a 420 art exhibit. Why don't you lay down and explain everything that's going on?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, everybody. I'm Eric Range from Art 420, and we are here at the Cannabis World Congress Business Expo here in Boston, and we brought something new to the table, I think, and that's the vibe we're getting from everybody. Art 420, we are a traveling cannabis-inspired art exhibition.
Awesome.
And so we're based out of Florida, but you know, we've done a couple shows down there in Florida, and
nice.
We've also traveled from Florida to Cali to do
for
a couple
sure.
pop-up shows.
For sure.
And now we're here in Boston displaying some of our cannabis-inspired art.
Now it's actually pretty cool when we talk about cannabis-inspired. It's actually your art, or specifically some of the pieces that you have, are a little bit more than cannabis inspired. They're actually artistic pieces from cannabis.
Absolutely. So we work with artists from all over the world. When we started the company back in 2015, we do an annual artist call. And we were so surprised the very first year that we got like almost 300 submissions from all over the world. You know, artists with all different backgrounds and level of experience and expertise. And they all brought something new to the table. And we have some pieces there where folks use actual ground flour. Right.
And make a fucking artistic
right.
piece.
That one blows your mind,
yeah,
right?
And one of them is the face of Peter Tosh, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's great.
So we in fact, this exhibition that we're revealing here today, it's kind of like a soft launch for this exhibition. And it's all focused on Peter Tosh, and is entitled Tosh, the Godfather of Cannabis Legalization.
And one of the pieces you have in particular is a portrait of Peter,
uh-huh.
right? And what was very interesting is instead of a guitar,
mm-hmm.
he was holding a rifle.
The M16.
The M16. Yeah,
the famous M16 guitar that he played with an M16 guitar live, you know.
Okay, so that's what I was interested
absolutely.
In you kind of explaining what the...
Yeah.
meaning was behind that.
If you know anything about the music, if you follow Peter Tosh and his music and his brand and style, if you will, you'll recognize that he offered a very contrasting message to you know, the famous Bob Marley. You know, I tell people all the time, if Bob Marley is akin to say Martin Luther King, Peter Tosh would have been your Malcolm X, if you will. Much more militant.
Sure. Absolutely, right?
Now, are you going to be featuring any other artists futuristically?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, so we've done a number of shows already. This is the first installation that we've done that is covering a particular person. Most of our exhibits, they cover different aspects of the cannabis industry. So, you know, some of the pieces we have on display, as soon as you see them, you know what we're talking about. It's cannabis-inspired art. But many of the pieces we work with and many of the artists we work with, it's their story. It's the backstory that really gives it some legs. And so, you know, I'll give you an example. One piece we have is called Death by Substance.
Okay.
And so just visualize four panels. Each panel represents a different substance, and the number of dots on the panel represents the number of deaths associated with that substance.
Oh, that's
powerful. So if you can imagine, the first one is tobacco, completely filled with dots.
Oh, yeah.
And then we move from there to alcohol, a little less dots than tobacco, but more than prescription meds.
Wow.
And then the final panel is of cannabis, and it's completely blank.
Whoa.
No.
Because we have no known deaths associated with
it. That is so,
and so
amazing.
We've sold that piece to a doctor down in Florida, a certifying physician in Florida, because it helps him connect with his patients.
Right.
And in particular, the aging population who are, you know, filled up with prescription meds, and, you know, they're very open to taking prescription meds and may be a little hesitant to even have the conversation with their physician about how cannabis can be beneficial. So this allows them to now, you know, connect on a deeper level with their patients, help their patients see something visually that explains why we should be having the conversation about cannabis.
Sure, that's amazing.
So where do you think you're going to be traveling to in 2019?
So we are actually in the process of setting up all of our dates. We are taking the Tosh exhibition around the U.S. next year.
Nice.
We're already in some conversations in a couple different places.
That's
California,
great.
Obviously, is on the list. Colorado.
Absolutely.
But New York as well.
Gotta pair that up with the Peter Tosh cannabis brand coming out.
You know, one state you should go to, it actually has the most medical cards issued after California is Michigan. There's over 250,000 medical cards issued in Michigan.
Yeah, we've been talking about Michigan is one of those states that don't get talked about, but we had a few interviews talking about Michigan recently. Like, they're a sleeper powerhouse that people don't even
and
realize.
Actually, they're going to have their first business-to-business conference in 2 weeks in Detroit.
Oh, nice.
First of its kind. So
That's awesome. Well, yeah, we have tons of dates that we're lining up for next year. We're looking for plenty of sponsors and partners to help us as we go around the country and take this message. You know, like I said, we started the company years ago because we wanted to challenge the stereotypes about cannabis users. We wanted to present a counter message to prohibition using fine art. You know, and it gives folks who are not already on this train, if you will, you know, it gives them an opportunity to come to a safe environment, you know, connect with the plant aesthetically first.
And give them a point of reference.
Absolutely.
Have you had any big name artists want to contribute to this or want to be a part of this in any way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we have. We work with several artists from all over. In fact, if you saw the photo that was attached to the advertisement here at the CWCBE, it was a famous photo taken by Peter Simon.
Peter Tosh.
Absolutely. So
one of my favorite ones, because he's holding a pipe in his mouth
with
fucking sunglasses and shit, like a total pimp. Like,
it's awesome.
Yeah,
I
love that shot. As a matter of fact, I think hopefully we'll integrate it into the, you know, marketing and pictures of the Peter Tosh brand, which is exciting. And Keiko, what kind of stuff, now you got your cultivation license and you're jumping into this scene, what are you going to be doing?
The most important thing for me is the outreach of cannabis education for the medical part, and I'm associated with Coral Cove Cannabis, which is the first of its kind all-inclusive cannabis resort. And today at the show, we're going to be drawing a winner at 3:30 for somebody to win a free trip there to Coral Cove.
Oh, now, I got a text message saying that I had already won.
I thought you guys called me also.
Andrew, I actually took your card and put it in for the drawing without you knowing.
So nice.
I got your back, Dave.
Yeah.
But what Coral Cove offers is a 4-star resort. It's been in operations for 18 years.
And it's in Jamaica?
Jamaica, just to the west side in Negril. But because it is all-inclusive, you get all your meals, your kayaking, your snorkeling. And when you sign up for the cannabis package, you get about an eighth a day, grown on site by the Rastafarian church.
Wow, that's really cool. Now, in Jamaica, there isn't like a permit for consumption or something on
there
the properties, or how does that
there
work?
There is types of licensing. And because we are associated with the Bobo Shante Rastafarian church, we can cultivate on site as well as dispense.
So shout out to Baba. What'd you call Baba Shante?
Bobo Shante Rastafari
movement.
And
absolutely.
We are looking at exportation, but we are more excited about 2019. Just like Eric, we're really reaching out. We're going to be having a lot of different seminars and classes on continuing nurse education, autism and cannabis. And in fact, right now, Andrew, I'm writing the book on autism and cannabis.
So break that down, because autism is such a spreading
It is.
Problem.
And I'll tell you why I think there has been more births with children in autism in the past two decades. It has gone up close to 20% of children being born with autism. And I think because of the toxicity in our land, water, and air, as well as the GMOs, and actually the plastics that we are slowly ingesting into our body from our bottled water has caused certain things.
And microwaving things.
And microwaving is affecting the reproductive system of
now,
both men and women.
We talked to another gentleman during the show who talked about a horrible story where his two-year-old son was having almost 100 epileptic seizures a day and found out that it stemmed from a vaccination shot.
Yes.
Are you finding that a lot of, or maybe possibilities that these vaccination shots are also causing some of the autism issues with kids?
Well, they are on the other end of that. They are showing more and more parents are choosing not to have their children vaccinated for any of these types of diseases. And
or spreading them out as well.
And I know many people who have had their child be affected by the vaccinations.
Yeah, they said, huh, for sure, right?
Yes, and it's unfortunate and very sad, but I do feel that if we utilize the certain healing parts of cannabis and CBD, we'll be able to help these children to have a much better quality of life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
Can I tell you a little bit about what R420 does with kids?
Absolutely.
So last year in 2017, we actually participated in the Schizencephaly Conference down in Florida.
Okay.
Kids with brain disorders and so on. And we provided a kids art zone. At the conference.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
The kids were able to come, paint and do, have some sensory,
Really cool.
And at the same time, it gave us an opportunity to speak with their parents about how cannabis
and
may
What kind of age ranges are we talking about?
In terms of the kids? We're talking everything from 4 or 5 years old to 15, 16 years old.
That's great.
Who are dealing with. And so we brought a variety of different mediums from, canvas and some acrylic paints to we even had some charcoal and some pastels for them to work with, and just some regular coloring books and coloring pencils, but just giving them a chance to be free and not have to stress over everything that they have to go with day in and day out. And I'll tell you, out of everything we've done so far since 2015, it's very few that I'm more proud of than that particular piece that we've done.
That's really cool, man. And is there, you guys just website, or you got the Instagram or social media? What's cracking?
You can find us out. I mean, a simple Google search of Art420 and you'll find all of us, all of our stuff, but you can go to our website, art420.com.
And then on there, does it link over to your social media and different things from that?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So
but the website, when you type it in, it's Art420 using the words, not the numbers. So
okay.
Art420 spelled out, art420.com, and you can find us on there. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook as well.
Absolutely.
We're all over the place.
And definitely shout out to Peter Tosh's family.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that they're having
down in
a
Jamaica.
Wonderful time
I know.
In Jamaica.
I'm jealous.
We both are jealous.
It's their birthday party yeah. there for Tosh.
And it's at the Peter Tosh Museum in Jamaica where all these great bands are playing. And proceeds, I know, help for the museum and for charity and other purposes. And I'm really glad that the family is keeping honoring his spirit and everything going on. Keiko, do you have a website or Instagram or things?
I do, definitely. For Coral Cove Cannabis, it's www.coralcovejamaica.com. And this next year at the Emerald Cup, I'm the head judge of edibles, too. So you guys should come out to the Emerald Cup.
What I'm hoping is maybe you can pull a little sway and get me to be a judge over there with you for Emerald Cup.
Do you know last year at Emerald Cup, the judges for the flower strains had 498 to test. Could you handle that?
Let me tell you something.
I would take that feat on. I would take pride in failing.
Absolutely. right? I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Gosh.
The lucky judges for that one.
You know, the things we have to do to move forward in this industry to normalization of cannabis.
There are worse jobs out there.
It's really trying. Having to smoke and judge all of those strains, you know, it's just really
it's a tough job.
I feel you. Shout out to my guys at the Emerald Cup. And if you guys listening out there from all over the world are like, what are they talking about? What is this Emerald Cup? Well, Emerald Cup is a really great event held every December, right?
Every December is
in
right
Cali.
After Harvest Festival there, or the of Harvest, but it's a second. It's the third largest cannabis consumer festival in the world. Spanibus and Hempfest are big, but this is the other big one, and where it's focused around the cultivators who grow the best in the world.
Absolutely. Shout out to all my boys coming from all around to compete in the Emerald Fest in Cali. But right now, we're chilling in Boston, East Coast, hanging out. A little bit chilly, but it was definitely a great show. I enjoyed everyone I got to speak to. Shout out to everyone who came down here for this wonderful event, and shout out to Dan and all the guys that put the CWCBE Expo on. It was really nice to talk to everybody and see all the different things, because every year when you come back, there's always a little bit more booths, a little bit more ideas, a little bit more things going on.
A lot more love, too.
And a lot more love. The one thing that's great is with the cannabis industry, there's a lot of friendliness. Even though there's a lot of competition, we try to do what we do so everyone can have their stake in the green rush, right?
Absolutely.
And right now, I hope either one of you win that trip to Jamaica.
Me too. Can I get one more plug as well?
Yeah, plug away.
I also serve as the board chair for Minorities for Medical Marijuana.
Okay.
And I'm the co-author of the diversity language down in Florida, requiring all the license holders to submit a diversity plan, talking about diversity from equity, staffing, and contracting. And we're in 19 states now. We have a chapter in Jamaica as well. And so we're looking to continue to grow. We're looking for partners to help us.
Awesome.
We believe in making sure that ethnic minorities have a spot at the table.
Absolutely.
That women, veterans, folks with disabilities,
LGBT.
LGBTQ. We want to make sure that everybody has a spot at this table. I tell people all the time, the cannabis industry gives us an opportunity to do things differently than we've done in every other industry.
But it's on us
to take that mantle and carry that banner.
Hell yeah.
Good job.
So we've been talking so much now about edibles and smoke and wax and this. Yo, I'm feeling it's time for a little puff tough break.
Yes.
I think
and a great way to end the CWCBE. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank
absolutely.
You, Andrew.
Down.
Thank you, Purple Haze.
Yes,
yeah,
thanks
yeah.
for having us.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.